whose MillerCom 2005 lecture series presents The Real Meets the Imagined, Northwest Coast Art, Claude Lévi-Strauss, and Surrealist by Marie Mosé, George A. Miller Endowment Visiting Professor, UIUC and Senior Researcher, CNRS, Laboratory of Social Anthropology, Paris, on Thursday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. at Knight Auditorium in Spurlock Museum. For more information, go to www.cas.uiuc.edu.
Good morning, and welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you listening. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Jason Croft, is at the controls. In this part of the show, we'll be taking your questions about new cars. And in a second here, we'll talk with Jake Fisher. He is senior automotive engineer from Consumer Reports. The magazine has just put out its new annual auto issue, rating new cars. Has a lot of information in here that you might find useful if you're thinking about going out and buying a new car sometime in the next few months. One thing I'd just like to mention to people listening this morning is we have discovered that we have had a bit of a problem with our telephone system. What happens is we have a couple of lines that seem to be working normally, and what's supposed to happen is that if that line is busy and someone calls, it's supposed to ring over onto another line, and apparently that's not happening. And we've heard from some people this morning who've said, gee, I'm calling and the phone is ringing and ringing and ringing. Why aren't you picking it up? Well, we're not picking it up because it's not ringing on our end. So we'll need to ask you to be just a little bit more patient with us this morning than usual. If that happens to you, if you're trying to call into the program and it seems to ring for a long time and no one's picking up, hang up, give us a couple minutes, and then try again because we do have a couple of lines that are working. We know that tomorrow in our area of the campus they're going to be doing some maintenance work, making some changes to some of our phone lines. So, in fact, tomorrow we're doing archives on the show because we won't have phones. We know that they won't be working at all. We wouldn't be able to take calls. And then we have our fingers crossed that everything should be back to normal on Wednesday. We will have live programs on that day. Everything should be working fine. So, again, bear with us this morning. And if you call and you just get a busy signal, please do try again. And we'll do our best to get as many people into the program this morning as we can. And again, this morning, our guest, Jake Fisher, he's senior automotive engineer from Consumer Reports. And he's with us right here on the telephone. Jake.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much for talking with us today. We appreciate it. Just generally, can I ask you first? And I know that there were a couple of changes that have come about after the magazine went to press because you got some new crash data about some of the cars. So you actually have made some changes from what's recommended in the magazine. So having said that, maybe I'll just ask you to run down the list of the all-around top picks in different categories of vehicle.
Sure. The top picks that we've tested, and these are vehicles that perform excellent in their categories, and they perform well in safety and reliability as well, are include the Acura TL, the luxury sedan, and a Lexus LS 430, small SUVs, Subaru Forester, other SUVs, midsize SUVs, Lexus RX 330, the Honda Pilot, if you're looking for a three-row SUV, reasonably priced. For minivan, Honda Odyssey is an excellent minivan and really fun to drive. For if you're looking for something green, Toyota Prius performed very well. Subaru Impreza WRX, we found, is a really fun to drive car that it's safe, it's reliable. But probably the most interesting thing that happened was the Honda Accord Hybrid became our best family sedan, our top pick in family sedan. So this is, we just looked at every family sedan, really regardless of what kind of engine or whatever it had, but the hybrid actually outperformed everything else.
Now, in the magazine that I have in front of me, the one that I presume is on the newsstand, the family sedan is an Accord, but it was apparently the conventional one, the one with the regular.
Well, engine. we said it was the Honda Accord in many modes, in the four cylinder and the V6, it's all excellent choice. But the actual top rated one is the Honda Accord.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see. Well, how I'm now curious, because I think the last time we did this topic, one of the things that we ended up talking about a fair amount was the hybrid and the fact that at this time, I think that, say, about a year ago, I think the only hybrid that was, I could be wrong about this, I think the only one that was available at that point was the Prius. Or maybe that was maybe there were some others and they were just coming on.
Correct.
And that there was a lot of interest in these cars and people were just lining up and they couldn't make them fast enough.
Right.
That people wanted them that much. I'm assuming now that there's continuing to be interest in the idea of the hybrid and that the various hybrids that are available, are they doing well?
Absolutely. What's interesting is really a change going on. They started out as really something for just someone who wants to get the bragging rights to the best fuel economy. There was the Honda Insight, which got 60 miles per gallon, but it was really very difficult to drive every day. The Toyota Prius broke some ground of being a really comfortable everyday kind of car. But still, you're paying some price for that increased fuel economy. That also was one that was very hard to get. I believe there's still waiting lists. If you're in California looking for a Prius, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
The Honda Accord Hybrid is really changing things a lot, where this is a car that really offers more of everything. I mean, the Toyota Prius is a good, nice car that you could drive really every day, but performance-wise, it's not up there where a good midsize sedan is. 0 to 60 is, you know, over 10 seconds. It doesn't exactly handle nimbly. The Honda Accord does everything that the normal Honda Accord does, but the Honda Accord Hybrid also gets very good fuel economy, better performance than the V6 counterpart. It really, for someone who doesn't want to give up anything and wants to get more of everything, the Accord Hybrid does it.
I think one of the little bits of conventional wisdom about cars is that I've always heard it said you should never buy a new car in its first year of manufacture because there's the expectation that there might be little problems here and there that need to get worked out as they build the cars. Then they'll get them figured out and then after that it shouldn't be a problem. Is this the technology of the hybrid? Is this pretty much worked out now to the point where you wouldn't expect that you would have any big problems with the hybrid?
Well, that's what we found. And even though the Honda Accord Hybrid is really in its first year right now, the technology isn't as new as you'd think. The Toyota Prius and the Honda Civic Hybrid have been around for 4 years, and we do have reliability data on this from our subscribers. And the Consumer Reports subscribers have had excellent luck with these cars. The reliability has been stellar for both of those. The Honda Accord Hybrid has a lot of similarities with the Civic Hybrid. So we expect the Honda Accord Hybrid will be equally as reliable.
We have a caller here we'll get right to, and of course welcome others. Again, our guest this morning is Jake Fisher. He is Senior Automotive Engineer from Consumer Reports. The magazine has just recently put out its annual auto issue that rates new cars for 2005, also has other kinds of information, things that you might want to think about if you're in the market for a new car. So if you're interested, you go out and you can pick up a copy of the magazine. But, of course, questions here are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We have someone listening this morning in Oak Forest, and we will go right there to our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Right up along that line, I was wondering I haven't seen that the Ford Escape is out yet, and I was wondering if you've had a chance to evaluate it at all.
I believe you're talking about the Ford Escape Hybrid?
Yes.
Yeah, we do have one. We haven't completed our testing of it. Our impressions, well, we've been a fan of the Ford Escape. It's a very nice driving vehicle. The Escape Hybrid, it seems to have some issues with power. And what I mean by that is in everyday driving, it seems to rev up a lot, so it makes a lot of noise. Also, our fuel economy we've gotten from are the low 20s. We haven't completed testing of it, but I wouldn't expect the claims that they've made of 30 miles per gallon and such. But we'll see. What'll be interesting is, you know, putting against vehicles like the RAV4, Toyota RAV4, and the Honda CR-V, and just, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't get a whole lot more fuel economy than those vehicles, you know, considering what we've seen so far.
Okay, well, I wasn't interested in one right now, but in the future, but I was wondering how it was now that it's finally being introduced. So thanks.
All right.
You're welcome.
Very good. Well, again, other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And again, I just want to mention that we've had some phone problems this morning, and apparently our engineers tell us that it's not within our system here within the building. It seems to be a problem in the community here. It may well be. So we hear that maybe all over town, people are saying they're having some phone problems. So again, we can take calls, and we managed to get in 15 calls in the first hour with Hank. So I'm sure that we can get in. I don't want to discourage anybody from calling. I'm just saying, if it should happen that we have some people on the air and some people holding, you might call in, and it might just ring and ring and ring. And it's not because we're ignoring you. If that happens, be patient with us. Hang up and wait a couple minutes, and then call back. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I'm interested that one section in the magazine, you apparently asked people how they felt about their cars. And so you got a list of those cars that people were really happy with and those cars that people were not happy with. And that, for example, with the small cars, the Prius gets the top rating. And then you also have for the other categories, there are a number of cars, and you see, you know, which ones that people really, really like. I guess I'm sort of curious, what sort of things go into a rating like that? For example, on the Prius, is that is part of the thing that people find it very satisfying, that it's the car in and of itself and how it performs? Or with that, does some of the satisfaction attach to the fact that people are feeling that maybe that they're using less fuel, it's less polluting, that it's a, you know, in terms of the environment, maybe it's a better car? I guess I'm just curious if you can actually talk about what all of the things that go into customer satisfaction with a car.
Well, it really comes down to a simple question we ask, is if would you do it again if you were going to buy a car? And but you're absolutely right. A lot of things go into this. I mean, I think with the Prius, one of the interesting things is the people who purchase Priuses are really enthusiasts of that car. They go out and they buy their Prius because they really, really... And what's interesting is, I mean, anyone who's buying a Prius, a lot of them had to wait on waiting lines, put on lists, and so when they finally get it, they're very happy. The other thing is, I think what people's perceptions about hybrid electric vehicles still are, there's a lot of compromises. And they're getting this great fuel economy, but they aren't expecting a lot. But when you do drive a Prius, it's a pleasant surprise, and it really exceeds your expectations, is what I feel about that. some of the other cars that were interesting are like the Chevrolet Corvette, which Honda S2000. These are very, very high in satisfaction. And again, these are people who just really, really enjoy their cars and are enthusiasts about those vehicles.
Yeah.
You look at the vehicles that are just transportation, and they do very poorly, whether it's the Mitsubishi Lancer or the Dodge Neon, cars without so much personality, Chrysler Sebring, Chevy Cavalier.
Yeah, it's interesting that among the sports and sporty cars, one of those that leads in satisfaction is the Cooper Mini, which I think it may be, as the same case with the Prius, that people who love that car really love that car.
Absolutely.
And even though it's kind of been notorious for having mechanical problems, that seems not to matter particularly. It's just
right.
People look at that little car and they just fall in love with it, and that's
right. I mean, the Mini, are, according to our, the same subscribers that fill out our survey about reliability, they fill the same survey for most satisfaction. And these are people who say, yes, this car has problems, but still it brings a smile to my face every time I drive it.
Yeah.
Currently, for an upcoming issue, we're testing a Mini Cooper S convertible. And this is a car we probably won't be able to recommend because of the poor reliability that Consumer Reports subscribers tell us. But still, I mean, every time we're out driving it, you can't help but smile.
Yeah. Well, let's talk with some other folks. Next caller is in Champaign, and line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I have some questions about the Honda Civic Hybrid and the Honda Accord Hybrid. Typically, cars cost more than the gasoline-powered models of the same car. I'm kind of curious as to why that is, and I'm also curious if you might know whether or not the government gives you a tax break for purchasing these automobiles, and I'll listen to your answer offline. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, as for the additional cost, you're correct. It's a $2,000 or $3,000 charge you're getting for these, and the reason that it costs more is because of the battery pack that's included, the electric drivetrain that's included, the additional coupling of that. It's a lot of components they're adding to that. If you're looking for either one of those vehicles for payoff as you're making that additional investment to save money and fuel, you're probably not going to see it, to tell you the truth, unless gas prices continue to escalate. But what you are going to do is you're going to be doing something for the environment. You're going to use less resources. And I think those are the people that are really purchasing these vehicles. The other question is tax incentives. Actually, they vary depending on where you are. I think there are the individual states have some very good ones. I think New York has one and California. There is a federal one, too. I'm not sure exactly what it is right now, but it always seems to be changing, so I would look into that.
All right. Let's go to a caller in Paxton. This is line number four, toll-free line. Hello.
Yes. Could you tell me what car you would recommend to replace a Park Avenue? We've been happy with the Park Avenue, but it's been discontinued.
Okay. Well, the car that comes to mind is the Toyota Avalon. And the Toyota Avalon is actually getting redesigned this year, but currently on the lots are the 2005 version, which has just been discontinued. And my advice would actually be to go get one of those, because that was an excellent vehicle, excellent reliability, lots of room, and you might be able to actually get it at some kind of a discount right now because the new model is coming out. Feel free to take a look at the new model too, which seems to be even better, but you might be able to get a deal on the existing one.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks. You know, we've been talking here a little bit about we have talked a fair amount, and I know last time we did this, we talked a lot about the hybrid and I think that there are some people who think that that gas. I think we expect that gas prices are going to go up, so maybe people are going to be more sensitive to that, and that maybe the enthusiasm for large vehicles like SUVs, that's not going to go away. So some people thought, well, that hybrid technology seems to be a natural for the SUV because that way maybe we could get a little bit more reasonable mileage, and the fuel consumption wouldn't be quite as serious as it is now. Is there anybody now that's offering a hybrid SUV, or are there plans for hybrid SUVs?
Well, among hybrid SUVs, currently on sale is the Escape Hybrid, which promises to get fuel economy of a small car. We're working on testing it right now, and we will see. Certainly doesn't seem to have the performance that you may be used to. Other hybrid SUVs that are coming out are the Lexus RX 400H, which is a hybrid version of one of our top picks. The other one is the Toyota Highlander Hybrid. But among these vehicles, although they get better fuel economy than their gas counterparts, they're not going to be that good. These are vehicles, I think, that offer more performance and better fuel economy, but still it's going to be not like a small car or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another technology that's coming out, well, it's really returning, is diesels. I think you may see more diesels, and diesels may, although they don't really do what, they're not environmentally friendly, they may do very well for getting better fuel economy for SUVs.
All right. Next caller is in Urbana. That's line number one right here. Hello.
Yeah, I was going to continue on the hybrid, but you did mention the diesel. One of the problems with that is that I think there was supposed to be environmental regulations, especially for the trucks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're terrible in terms of, you know, contaminating, you know, in terms of the environment.
You're right.
Back to the hybrid. If you compare a Toyota and what's the other one? The two main ones, you know, Toyota and what?
The other hybrid SUV?
Yeah, no, not the SUV, with the, you know, the smaller versions. The Prius and what's the other one?
The Prius and the Accord and the Civic hybrid.
Okay, the Civic, right. What about the technology? Is there that much difference between them, or are they pretty close to the same technology?
It's a very good question. I would say it's the same technology, but it's applied differently. The Civic really has a very small electric engine. It's really the gas engine supplemented, if you will, with the electric engine. It really can't drive just on the electric engine. The Prius is really a ground up type electric hybrid vehicle. You get better fuel economy with it. It could power itself in a lot of states just on electric. So the Civic Hybrid is really very much like driving a normal Civic. The Prius is kind of in a class by its own.
Well, I was told, and, you know, of course, how true that was, but that the Prius had better technology to a certain degree than the competitors. But anyway, thank you very much.
Right. Okay, you're very welcome.
Thanks for the call. Let us continue. And the next is someone listening in McLean County this morning on our toll-free line. Line four.
Good morning.
Yes, hello.
Good morning. I have several questions, and I'm going to keep them short and start with the top of priority. I always hear people talking about your gas mileage and the state of the car depends on your driving style. Mm-hmm. And I've asked that question many times. What is it that improves the mileage? My driving would improve mileage and better care of the car. Do you have any?
Sure. Sure, these are great questions.
Thank you.
What you could do, actually, and this is really interesting. I mean, some of these hybrid technologies, some of these technologies that they put on these cars, they promise 10%, 15% fuel economy. You absolutely can save 10%, 15% fuel economy, but just driving differently. One of the things you could do is just maintain speed is one of the things that sometimes you see on the highway, people applying brakes and slowing down and speeding up. And if you could just maintain your speed steadier, mm-hmm. You could definitely see a large improvement of fuel economy. Gunning the engine off of a start, if it's not necessary, you're just using up fuel. One of the interesting things about the hybrid vehicles, they have all these displays that help you improve your fuel economy. If they would put those on normal cars, they would also improve your fuel economy. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the things I would say is just maintain speed and just gently accelerate and try to coast as much as you can.
Okay. Yeah, I use a cruise control as soon as I can get to my speed, and then I don't mess with it usually.
Good.
The second thing that I wanted to know, or actually mentioned in the state of Illinois, we bought a Honda Hybrid last year.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't done, actually, I'm supposed to be doing my taxes today, but I do know that I think there's either $1,000 or $1,500 credit.
Okay, great.
From last year. I don't know about this year. So when I get to that, it'll show up, I'm sure, for the person who called. The other thing is...
feel free to come in with the answers as well.
What about alternative energy? Because, I mean, I had a conversation with someone else with the Citizens Utility Board this morning, and I'm really fed up with the oil prices going up. And my thinking is, we are the U.S., the richest country in the world, by money, by materials, by land, mm-hmm. and by brain power. Why can't we come up with something that is more energy efficient, that is more environmentally friendly? And why do we have to depend on having a war in Iraq or, mm-hmm. or you know, they were just talking about drilling frozen methane or whatever else for other energies? Why can't we talk about solar energy? Why can't we talk about solar cars or electric cars or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I I actually agree with you very much about this. And I think it all comes down to dollar and cents. I mean, one of the problems we have, I shouldn't say it's a problem, but I mean, even where gas prices are right now, on a global sense, they're still very cheap. You know, anywhere in Europe, you're paying $5 a gallon for gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And there are technologies, but they just aren't cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
There's different, you know, alternative fuels. I mean, you could use ethanol and natural gas, LPG. There are other alternatives, but they just, people aren't ready to, well, I mean, most people aren't really ready to get rid of their SUVs, let alone switch onto an alternative fuel that may cost you $10 a gallon. I think in the long term, we are going to see a growth of fuel cells vehicles. And fuel cells, probably when you look 10 years out,
mm-hmm.
that's what's going to happen. They're still working out the details, because what you have to do is you have to extract electricity from hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And carrying hydrogen and fueling up is, they're still working on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But don't give up yet.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to hang up because I'll let other people talk in. And if there's a blank spot, I'll call you back.
All right, thanks for the call. We are a little bit past the midpoint here. Perhaps I should introduce our guest. We're talking with Jake Fisher. He's Senior Automotive Engineer from Consumer Reports, and we're talking about new cars. If you're thinking about buying a new car, obviously you want to do as much research as you possibly can and look at various kinds of ratings of cars. And one place that you can go is to Consumer Reports. They have out now their annual auto issue, rating what they think are the best cars for 2005. It's the April issue of Consumer Reports magazine. Should be out there now and available. And it does indeed contain a lot of kinds of information about cars, rating things like their safety and their economy and people's general satisfaction with them. Also, other kinds of articles here, things that you might be interested in, including the financing issue, how to think about paying for the car. Questions and comments, I'm sure, are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And next we'll go to a caller in Crete. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I got two questions. One is, when do you know it's time to dump your old car and buy a used or new car? I mean, is it in a financial situation or is it a breakdown situation? When do you say enough is enough?
I think you really have to look at what it's costing you to drive that vehicle. I know, you know, personally, I'm always yelling at my father because he says, oh, no, I fixed everything on the car, and what else will go wrong? And I just look at what how much money it costs to maintain the car, and then you look at what a new car is. You know, I think for many cars, that's that answer may be 5 years, 6 years, a very reliable car, and maybe even longer. I know a lot of people keep, you know, you'll see Honda Civics or on the road for 10, 15 years and still being very reliable.
I have a 1989 Toyota Camry wagon that's 190,000 miles on it, and it's
mm-hmm.
not had it. I wondered if there's something comparable. I don't think the Toyota company makes any more of those wagons like that. Do you know anything that I could buy that would sort of match my 89 Camry wagon?
Oh, that's tough because that's something that are not, you're right. They're not really producing that. I think one of the cars you could look at is the Subaru Legacy wagon. We have a lot of they are very reliable. Probably not quite as large as your Camry. Unfortunately, a lot of the automakers are just found there's more profit in SUVs and seem to be reluctant to produce large wagons because they do compete with their more profitable SUVs. But, you know, you could take a look at everything from the Toyota Matrix to a Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4 and then see what fits your needs.
RAV4, you say?
The Toyota RAV4.
RAV4.
Yep.
One other question regarding buying a new car versus a used car. Somebody said that you're a fool, unless you're a millionaire, to buy a new car because the depreciation is over 40% as soon as you drive it out of the lot. And if you could find a good used car, maybe have a mechanic check it out, that's the way to go. Do you have any personal opinion on that?
I agree with that. You're absolutely right. The first year depreciation is incredible. probably if you, you know, purchase a car in a second year or third year and keep that for 7 years, you're going to be paying a lot less less dollars per mile. However, you are taking that chance. There are, you know, certified used vehicle programs, which the automakers promise they go through everything. You know, I would take a look at that. Some vehicles, though, if you look at, you know, Hondas retain their value very well, and the prices are somewhat reasonable. So it may make sense in some vehicles to get the new ones, but definitely take a look at a year-old car.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. I know it's certainly the kind of thing that I have heard, too, and it seems that because now so many people have taken up the option of leasing a car, there are significant numbers of cars that may only be a couple of years old and relatively no mileage. And
right.
You would think if you settled on a kind of a car that had a pretty good reputation for reliability, that might not be such a bad way to go. And it certainly is less than you would be paying less than if you bought that car brand new.
Absolutely right.
Let's go to another caller here, Eureka. On our line number 4 on the toll-free line. Hello.
Hi. Could I ask a used car question, please?
No problem.
I'll take the answers off the air. First of all, it seems to me I saw an ad on the CBS Eve News, a story that's saying that, of course, I think it's just common sense that the gasoline ratings are a bit overstated. And I wondered, could you give a rule of thumb, like maybe 10%? Less than what they say is probably about what could get. And then I wonder if you could just comment on the Chevy S10 pickup as far as what your view is on that as being a reliable vehicle. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Fuel economy, yes. They've done it basically the same way they've done for 30 years. We do our own fuel economy tests. I would suggest take a look at Consumer Reports online or Consumer Reports and see what we get. We find that's more realistic. Generally, sometimes our actual fuel economies are closer to the city numbers you'll see on EPA, but it varies per vehicle. The S10, I would say, unless it's an incredible deal, stay away. They have not been reliable, and if you're looking for something like that, I would suggest a Toyota Tacoma, which are bulletproof.
Okay.
Reliability.
On the question of the gas mileage, and the issue is that mileage, and I'm assuming that is the EPA that does
yeah.
the testing. Is you think actually that it's probably not as good as it is as under real world driving conditions, the kind of mileage you or I would get, it probably won't be as good as they say that you should get.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe they still do a highway traffic cycle at 55 miles per hour. I don't remember whenever ever driving that slowly on the highway. And they actually do everything in a lab on a dyno, and they've for reasons that they want to compare for everything back. And I think they've been reluctant to change their test because of comparability. So it's and especially things like hybrids. I mean, the EPA numbers for hybrids are just extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen them in real life. So
I guess that's one of the things that I have read, that in fact that there are some people who have gone out and bought hybrids and had actually say that they're maybe a little bit disappointed because they didn't get the mileage that they thought.
Right.
And I would think that it would be better anyway, so that you'd feel good about it. Yeah, you'd be happy with it, but I think there are some people saying, "Hey, I'm not getting
right.
the mileage that you said that I was going to get."
Yeah, I mean, when I first got when we first started testing the hybrids, I mean, I went out and I tried everything I could to try to get some of the EPA numbers, driving very gently, looking for downhills, but no, they seem to be fairly unrealistic in real life unless you're driving 50 miles per hour on the highway on a flat.
Okay, even with maximum coasting, you can't get that mileage. Huh?
No. So beware. It's an interesting situation, actually, because the automakers are required by law to quote the EPA numbers. So even if Toyota were to say, well, we realize you're not going to get EPA numbers, you'll probably get something like this, they actually aren't allowed to. So all I would suggest is, you know, take a look at what Consumer Reports says on the fuel economy. They'll probably be more realistic to what you'll see.
All right. Well, next, someone calling from Niles, Michigan on our toll-free line here, line 4. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to see if I'm right or wrong. On the hydrogen fuel cell, you fuel up with hydrogen, and the fuel cell is actually in your car, and it makes electricity, so you're running on an electric motor?
That's correct.
So it would be like fueling propane, similar to if you have a camper, but you'll go into a hydrogen station and get compressed hydrogen instead of compressed propane?
It would be something like that. I mean, I'm not that sure if they want to do, solid hydrogen or however they want to fill it, because hydrogen is a very small molecule that tends to seep out. But the difference is you're not actually burning the hydrogen. It's just, water is H2O, right? So you take the hydrogen, you add it to the oxygen, you wind up with water, and when you do that chemical reaction, it lets off energy, which gets turned into electricity.
And the other drawback I hear is that to make the hydrogen in the first place, it's going to take a lot of electricity, which is made from coal, so the pollution will be in the refining area, which is good if the refinery is near the coal field, and the cities will be clean then.
Well, that's one part of it. You're right. I mean, there isn't going to be refineries in L.A. or anywhere where there's smog. But depending on how you create that, it could be, you could conceivably do it with hydropower or solar electric by using that energy to create your hydrogen.
Well, I just think it'd be an interesting compromise to get some conservative people from the coal fields of Kentucky to work with environmentalists saying, We'll produce the pollutant coal here in Kentucky and make your cities clean and work together on it.
We may see that.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
The obviously the caller points up the difficulty with moving to the fuel cell. You have to produce the vehicles, then you have to have the infrastructure so that people can get the hydrogen if you're going to do it that way. Now I believe there are fuel cells that actually work on gasoline.
That's right.
And so that would be one way to do it. Does anybody have, do you think, a realistic kind of idea at what point that would even be an option?
Well, I believe there are actually vehicles on the road that are doing that, where you can use gasoline and then we'll distill the hydrogen from it. Of course, that doesn't solve our issue with dependent on foreign oil, et cetera. But and the other issue is just it's just not cost effective. I mean, these vehicles would be very expensive at this point, somewhere over the order of $100,000, and plus relatively expensive to run. But I think 5 years, 10-year horizon, we're going to have some different answers.
Mm-hmm. And that would, even though, again, what you say, obviously, that doesn't do anything to deal with our dependence on oil issue, but at least here, if pollution was one of your big concerns, if that was your big concern, then this is not an internal combustion engine.
Correct.
So
you're not burning anything.
You're not burning anything, so that you don't quite have – you're not going to have that same – not going to have that – the emissions
right.
issue.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. In Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi. My question is not about passenger vehicles, but about light work trucks, which I need to use for my business.
Okay.
I can't get by with anything smaller than a 3/4-ton standard length van. I'm currently driving a mid-90s Chevy with a V6. I get almost 20 miles to the gallon. Is there anything of comparable size and weight carrying capacity being made today that would improve markedly on that 20 miles per gallon on the highway?
I have to apologize. We have not done commercial vehicles like that. What I can say is there are many diesels now available, and I would definitely take a look at some of the diesels, which really do offer excellent fuel economy on the highway. Both all big three on their SUVs do have the diesels. Another interesting vehicle is the Dodge Sprinter,
I've seen that.
And we have not tested this, but this is based off of a Mercedes-Benz vehicle that's very popular in Europe. And one of the keys in Europe is getting excellent fuel economy because of the cost of gas. So it would be interesting to see what gains that would make.
If I could follow up on another caller's question. Since when you're driving these trucks, you're locked into relatively bad mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a notion for highway driving if my only concern is fuel economy, and that is the only concern? Is 65 a much better speed to maintain in where you're going just fast enough that you won't hopefully get run over? is that the best kind of speed rather than flowing with the traffic going faster? Does it make a marked difference?
It does, and you know, I believe when you know, Jimmy Carter switched the speed to 55, it really wasn't about so much about safety as it was about fuel savings. Driving slower definitely does save fuel, and to just steady speeds. you know, if you have to, if you're going down a hill and you could coast and gain some speed for the next hill, that'll help too.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, we have about 10, 12 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, talking with Jake Fisher. He is senior automotive engineer from Consumer Reports. The magazine has recently now put out its annual auto issue. It's the April 2005 issue, rating new cars. There is also here a section on used cars, the best and the worst, those that they suggest you avoid or those that they think you might want to take a look at. There's other kinds of information here about new and used vehicles. So if you're thinking about buying another car, whether it be new or just new to you, it would be one place that you can go and get some information. Put that into your mix of things that you're thinking about. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We talked right at the beginning of the program about your best overall picks, and you take into consideration things like safety and reliability and consumer satisfaction. Here we have been talking a bit about hybrids and the concern that a lot of people have about obviously, mileage, you know, considering the cost of gasoline, they want to get the most out of it. I wonder if I might ask a question about safety. And supposing that you said, I want to buy a vehicle and the most important thing to me is safety. Are there some vehicles that stand out in your mind in terms of their crash worthiness that you would say, okay, if that's what's most important to you, then here's some that you could think about?
Yeah, I could do that. We have, in our ratings, we actually have, accidents avoidance. We rate as a unit, and also we look at accident avoidance and crash protection. There's really two parts of it. In a crash, there are now, if you asked me this question a couple years ago, I'd be listing off luxury cars. But now there are many family sedans that have standard equipment in terms of stability control, side airbags, head protection airbags. And even our Honda Accord Hybrid does have a lot of that equipment. And overall, it's excellent in both avoiding accidents and protecting in accidents. A lot of luxury cars do as well and have a lot of good safety equipment. But I would... One thing I'd like to impress upon your listeners are think about everything when you're talking about safety. There's a lot of people who believe, oh, I'll just get the biggest SUV that I can and I'll be safe when something hits me. But some of those vehicles may be harder to stay on the road if there's an emergency comes up. Sometimes something with sportier handling, better brakes, and stability control can help avoid those accidents. Mm.
Well, that's what you're talking about. Those are the things that come under the heading of accident avoidance. That is, it
Correct.
Has to do with how that car handles.
Yep. Your ability to avoid an accident really has to do with brakes, handling, items like that.
Okay. Let's talk with some more folks here. We have someone in Indiana on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Hello. Recently, a state, if you went into your city building, for example, and they usually have these, I don't know what kind of containers they are, but anyway, they have travel things and things from different cities, you know, to visit. They also have information from the state, and I picked up one and was reading it, and this had to do with cars about driving and safety and defensive driving stuff, and they said that the best gas mileage was between 30 and 50 miles an hour. And I'm presuming that's with an automatic, of course. And I was wondering, from your experiences, does that make sense? you know, I started thinking, well, I can drive around town at 35 and save me a lot of money, and I tried it, and it didn't work. I got 15 miles to the gallon instead of 28 like I normally get.
Right.
On the highway, I usually drive about 52. I find that's it's just a nice feel to the car at that speed. And the roads I drive on, you know, I don't get past that much. So I was just wondering about this 30 to 50, where it may have come from, or, you know, anything you might know about that.
Well, I think that's correct. What's missing from that quote is what they're not telling you is steady speed, how important steady speed is. And when you're in a situation where you are driving 30 or 35 around town, often you're slowing down and speeding up a lot, which just uses up a lot of fuel. So if you could get onto a highway and drive 30 steady, you would probably get excellent fuel economy. However, it's just not practical. So I think the best situation for ultimate fuel economy is a highway or anywhere you can maintain steady speed and just slower generally is better on the highway.
Okay, well, let's go to line one. This is someone in Urbana. Hello.
Line one?
Yes.
Hi. I have a comment about the hydrogen fuel. There are studies that I know of that indicate that generating hydrogen and using it as a fuel would require so much of electricity that if we did it by using coal as the source of electricity and replaced the current consumption of gasoline with hydrogen, we would end up doubling the air pollution than it exists today because of the efficiencies of conversion from coal to electricity, electricity to hydrolysis, and then from hydrogen to electricity again and conversion to gas mileage. I just thought I'll make it a comment. I personally believe that it's a politically convenient vehicle right now to talk about all that, but it is way far away unless we find a very cheap source of electricity to convert water into hydrogen. This is not going to happen so soon. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you want to comment on that at all, Jake?
Well, I don't disagree that it's not something that's going to happen next year or overnight. Since we are talking about a 5-year, 10-year out, since you don't have the ability to, for instance, you can't have hydroelectric generation in your car. You can't have a nuclear reactor in your car. But you can have a type of energy source in a power plant that is more energy efficient. So if we could get into that situation, I think there is hope for not polluting more with this type of technology.
Well, other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. One of the things that I thought I would ask you to talk a little bit about here as we're coming down to the end has to do with financing, because here, whether you're buying a recent used car or you're buying a new car, we're talking about a significant amount of money here. So people are going to want to try to get the best deal that they possibly can, pay the least, and take into consideration if they're financing this somehow, they've got to think about that too. And they're going to want to try and get the best deal. Are there any particular things that you suggest people think about when they're thinking about about financing and how it is that they're going to ultimately pay for the car?
Sure. We actually have an article in the April issue really comparing leasing and financing and all types of things like that. But I will give you a few tips. And this is a big one. When you go and you purchase a vehicle and you go to that dealership, do not go and when they ask you how much can you afford a month, do not answer that question. What you need to do is when you look at figure out which car you want, negotiate that price first, and then look at your financing options or lease options at that point. You could lease through the dealership. You could lease through a credit union, which often comes out very good. But shop around, but just don't get into that pitfall of answering that question, because what's becoming more prevalent is 7-year loans where they say, oh, sure, you can only, you know, we'll get you that car for $299 a month, but you'll be in debt for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to consider how much you end up paying in interest.
That's right.
Over the time of the loan, because, of course, that's the thing that eats you.
Yep.
That's the thing that eats you up. Let's try and get one more caller here, at least, line 4, Chicago. Hello.
Yeah, thank you. Why do we still have car dealers? I mean, a lot of other stuff that used to be sold that way in this tedious, try not to get ripped off, bargain, 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 that nobody really enjoys except the car salesmen who don't make any money. Well, I mean, I heard at some point that, I know they use it as a form of advertising, have these dealerships drag in there to look at the car, but I've never bought a car based on what it looked like in a dealership. I saw one on the street or a friend had one or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we even have them? I just want to be told what railroad siding is the thing going to be at, what day and what time, and I'll be able to pick it up. And, you know, in the original days when cars first came in, well, you needed dealers because they were the only people that knew how to work on them because, you know, there were 30 different, 100 different kind of cars out there. And you really, the mechanics at the dealer were, they knew their stuff.
Yeah.
Dealers are no better than any other mechanics these days. In fact, they're lousy.
We got to get a quick comment here because we're really close to being out of time. And I think this is a good question. Do you see changes in how cars are sold?
I think there are some changes, and I think the Internet is really driving that, where you can really go online, know what you want, pick out that car, order it, and just go to the dealership and pick it up. I personally, for Consumer Reports, purchase a lot of the vehicles incognito. They don't know who we are. And what I do and what you could do, too, is just do your shopping on the phone. You could call 5 dealerships in the course of 25 minutes, negotiate your best price, put a credit card on your down payment, just show up there when you're ready to drive the car away.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. And for people who are interested in thinking about buying a car, you take a look at Consumer Reports, April 2005. It's their annual auto issue. You can get some advice there and use that as one source of information for making up your mind. Our guest this morning, Jake Fisher, senior automotive engineer from Consumer Reports. Thanks very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Programs here made possible by grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one-of-a-kind custom design gemstone roundtables, conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada. The broadcast also made possible by a grant from The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta is at 114 West Church in Champaign, and the staff there at The Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting AM 580. That's it for us here on Focus, but we want you to stay tuned. More coming up as part of the Afternoon Magazine with Celeste Quinn.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine, we'll talk about gardening with Chuck Voigt. In particular, we'll focus on herbs and vegetables. Chuck is principal research specialist in agriculture, natural resources, and environmental sciences at the University of Illinois. He joins us at 106.